I want to invite you, church, to take your Bible and go to Matthew 6. And if you're using the church Bible underneath your seat, please do so. Feel free to use it. It's page 996 in the church Bible. And that'll take you to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6. And the context here of Matthew 6 is having to do with prayer. And the disciples caught Jesus praying again. And they were so impressed with Jesus' prayer life, they said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And so Jesus begins to teach them on prayer. We've covered a lot of this. And then he gets to verse number 9, and he's going to give them a model, an example. And he says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." You know that. We call it the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. And he's going to give them a model, an example. It's very important, though, church, to understand and note that this isn't a prayer that it's ever indicated in Scripture. Never is it indicated that we're just to repeat those exact words. In fact, Jesus warned about vain repetitions. So we're not told just to repeat the prayer. The disciples said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." They didn't say, "Lord, give us a prayer." They said, "Teach us how to pray. We want to know how to pray. Don't just give us a prayer." And by the way, there are no magic prayers. There are no magic words that you can say that's going to all of a sudden be like, "Okay, boom, man, you got God's attention. Now God's really listening because you said just the right words, and those are the magic words, and now God's going to give you what you want." No, there are no magic prayers like that, okay? This prayer is a model. It's an example. He's going to basically say, "Guys, these are the elements that really should be there present in your prayer life." It's an incredible model in the sense that you can take this prayer and break it down into six different sections. And we began doing that, and I've already given you the first two, and today we're going to cover the third section. I'm going to review, though, in case you missed the first two. Then we're going to get into the third one today, and then we're going to continue. But if you can take your prayer time, break it into these six areas, you put the meat on it based on what's going on in your life, it will really, really help give you direction in your prayer life. And so the first example that Jesus gives them is in verse 9. Look at it with me. Verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, what's he doing? He's praising the Father. And so if you look in your handout, you'll notice that it says, whenever you pray, always begin with what, church? Praise. That just means that you're going to, remember the praise list I gave you? I said, we've heard of a prayer list. Let me give you a praise list. And we said, spend some time at the beginning of your prayer praising God for who he is. What is the Lord to you? Thank him for that. Praise him for that. Spend some time praising him for what he's done in your life. Has God done any good things for you? Say amen, huh? Thank him for that. Spend some time thanking him for blessings in your life. Praise him. Then the second part of the prayer is in verse 10, the second section. All right. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." God's will be done where? Okay. In earth, as it is where? In heaven. Well, that makes sense. Is God's will always done in heaven? Yes. We want God's will to be done where? On the earth. Would you guys agree? God has a will. God has a plan. God has a purpose for the day and age in which we live today. Amen. He wants his gospel of his son. He wants the good news of Jesus to get out. And the primary channel that God's getting his work done today is through the local church. And so the second part of your prayer time should be for God's work to be done, God's will to be accomplished on this earth. So that means the second part of my prayer time deals with praying for my local church, praying for my pastors, praying for fellow church members, praying for lost souls to come to know the Lord as their Savior, praying for events going on, outreach events at my church. Like, man, we got a whole list of them. Just this summer, Vacation Bible School, baseball camp that we're doing as an outreach, youth camp. We got a gym outreach we're doing. We got Walk Through Bethlehem coming up in December. You know, we've got the Engage Global team in October that goes to Minnesota. I mean, almost every month we got stuff going on where we're trying to reach souls. We're trying to see God's work move forward. So when you pray, you're praying for your local church. You're praying for the ministries you're involved in. You're saying, God, how can I better further your work here on this earth? So when I go to the Lord in prayer, it doesn't revolve around me at the beginning. See, when I go to the Lord in prayer, my focus, come on, talk to me. Who is my focus? God. Thank you. When I go to the Lord in prayer, I focus on him. I praise him for what he's already done. I praise him and thank him for my blessings. Then I spend some time praying about what he wants done on the earth. I pray about his work. I pray for my local church. I pray for the salvation of lost souls. I pray for the ministries. I pray for God's work to be done, for his will to be done. But then there is a time to pray for yourself. Look at verse 11. Verse 11. He said, say it with me, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. In your handout, it says the third part of your prayer would be to pray for your needs. Now you can kind of turn and you can consider the needs that are going on in your personal life. And I love the symbolism that Christ gives them. He says, give us this day our daily bread. And I brought in a loaf of bread here to kind of symbolize that. Got some Pepperidge Farm, farmhouse, oatmeal, high fructose, no corn syrup. Amen. And I brought in this loaf of bread because when Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, he's not literally praying that you repeat those words and pray for a slice of bread every day. What he's doing is he's giving you an example, a model. And daily bread is symbolic of your daily needs, you know, the daily provision that you need from God, that daily sustenance that you need. He didn't say, did you notice that the prayer was not, give us this day our all-you-can-eat buffet. That wasn't the prayer. Now, that rhymed, but that's not in the Bible, all right? He didn't say, give us this day our all-you-can-eat buffet. And many times, that's how we think. We expect more than our needs from God. We have a kind of a buffet mentality, you know? Let me pick what I want, and then God's going to give it to me. No, give us this day our daily bread. What's he saying? Be content with your daily bread. And in your handout, it says this phrase, daily bread, speaks of true needs. It speaks of true needs in your life. Would you guys agree that there is a difference between need and greed? Yes. How would you define, don't answer out loud, okay, but just think about this. How would you define your true needs? In the physical realm, true needs are things that you must have to sustain life. Food, daily bread, right? How many of you have gotten used to eating? Raise your hand if you've gotten used to eating. All right, right. So we got to have food, but I don't have to have filet mignon. All right? I need a roof over my head. All right? But I don't have to have a bedroom and a bath for every person in the house. Maybe I need a car. In our culture, that may be a genuine, true need to be able to work, provide for my family, to serve the Lord effectively, to get to church. I need a car. Okay, that's a need. I don't have to have a luxurious car, but I need a car. Maybe, hey, we need clothes on our back. How many of you came with clothes on today? Raise your hand. Some of you are not raising your hand. You're scaring me right now. I'm thinking, now this is the one question I'm going to actually get every person in here to interact with me. Some of you did not raise your hand. I am not looking, all right? Yeah, we got to have clothes, right? That's a need. But we don't have to have the fanciest, most expensive name brand clothes. What did the Bible say? Look in your handout, Philippians 4:19. What does that verse say? But my God shall supply all your what? Need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He says, God knows your need. You know what that church had done? That church had given sacrificially to Paul's ministry. They had given, man, I mean, given and given and given money to Paul's ministry, to God's work. You know, we talk about God's work. They had given sacrificially to God's work. And Paul turns around. He says, hey, I want you to know God knows your heart. God knows what you've done. God knows your need, and he'll meet that need. And when we talk about our need in the physical realm, we need food, clothing, and shelter. When you get right down to it, that's about it. We can sustain life with those things. And Paul said, if you have those basic needs met, then you need to be content. You need to be thankful for that and be content. Look in your handout, 1 Timothy 6:8. It says, it's in your handout, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith what, church? Content. But then the next verse tells you why to be content. Look at the next verse in your handout. But they that will be rich, in other words, people who have much more than they really need, he said, they fall into temptation and a snare. There's an inherent trap. When you have more than you need, there's an inherent trap to that, a snare. Why? Because you fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Why? To be honest with you, they got the money to do it. And so what happens is when you have a lot more than you need, he's saying it leads you into trouble. And then look at the end of the verse. It says, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Drowned means to sink. You know what my picture is when I visualize that verse? I'm a little different, I know, but when I picture that verse about drowning, you know, the rich people that have more than they need and they drown in destruction and perdition, I think about some guy out on a ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and it's a sinking ship, and people are jumping off board, you know, and trying to swim to shore, and some guy's out here in the ocean, and he jumps off the ship with a big old bag of gold coins. And people are like, let go of the bag. No, I will be rich. I want to be rich, and I will be rich. And what happens with if he won't let loose of the gold coins? He sinks to the bottom, doesn't he? He goes to the bottom. He drowns. When you have a lot more than your need, and you have lots of excess, it's very hard to serve the Lord. Now, that's not my opinion. Jesus taught that, and Paul taught that to the church. So my opinion doesn't matter. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's one of the problems with American culture. Most of us have a lot more than we need. And the Bible teaches when that's the case, it's very hard to serve the Lord. Why? Because the Bible teaches it brings pride, haughtiness, a desire for more and more begins to take over. God and his work isn't first on our thoughts anymore, on our radar. We want bigger, we want better, we want nicer, we want newer, we want what other people have. And covetousness begins to take over, begins to consume us, it begins to destroy us from within. Paul said that materialism causes people to pierce themselves through with many sorrows. You say, well, Pastor Dan, then what do we do if we have more than we need? According to Scripture, and again, this isn't Dan Proctor, in my opinion. According to Scripture, when we have more than we need, our first thought as Christians, when I have a surplus, I got more than I need, my first thought ought to be, how can I further his work on earth? What can I do for the Lord with this surplus? Because remember, God's work is our priority in prayer, and it's our priority in our personal lives, or it should be. We learn from this prayer of Jesus, God's work is foremost in our thoughts and minds. Remember, we get on our knees to pray, we praise him, and then number two, we pray about his work on earth, which he's doing through local churches today. So our first, our heart, our mindset, our priority is God and his work. Then next on the list is us. Give us this day our daily bread. So if I got more than I need, more than my daily bread, then my first thought is giving, not gaining, not heaping up more treasures for myself. You say, Pastor Dan, are you saying that if I have food and clothing and shelter, then are you telling me I just skip this part of the prayer and I don't need to pray for any of my needs. That is not at all what I'm saying. You see, we have many other needs other than just physical needs. The Bible teaches that we have spiritual needs, relational needs, emotional needs, mental needs. For example, you may have a family member that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's a need. That would be part of that daily bread time of your prayer life. You would take that family member to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I need you to work in their life. I need you, Lord, to save them. There may be a child. You have a child that's kind of gone astray. They've kind of gotten off the path that they should be on. That would be a time. That's your daily bread. You take that child to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I need you to work in this child's life. God, I need you to do something special in my child's life, God. I need this. Maybe you're struggling with fear or doubt or worry. That's a need. You take that need to the Lord in prayer. I pray every day for my family by name, and I pray for their protection under this section of this prayer. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Part of my daily bread is, Lord, I pray that you will protect my family. Protect them from the wiles of Satan. Protect them from harm. And I call them out by name. And I pray for Denise, and I pray for Clayton and Caleb, and I pray for Clint and Kendall and Landon and Connor. Connor's not even here yet, and I'm already praying for him. He's in the womb. And I'm praying for my grandson, Connor. And I'm praying that God will work in his life and God will protect him. God will give Kendall a healthy, you know, delivery, that Connor will, and Landon both, will one day be saved and be men of God and love the Bible. And I'm already lifting them up. That's part of my daily bread prayer. Lord, I need you to work in my family's life. Maybe part of your daily bread is, Lord, I need to have a righteous walk before you. And Lord, help me to walk righteously before you. Help me, Lord God, to deny myself from ungodly lust and worldly lust, and help me to live for you, Lord. That's part of that daily bread prayer. Those are needs in your life. Those are personal needs that you have. The Bible says that you can take time to pray for those. What is it that you need to see God do in your life? Think about that. What do you need to see God do in your life? How do you want to see God work in a particular situation right now? You got to pray. Why? Because in your handout there, look at what it says in your handout. Prayer is what gets God involved. Prayer all through the Bible, that's what gets God involved. When you pray, that's what gets him involved. You need God involved, you got to pray. You say, man, I got this situation going on in my marriage. And man, my daily bread is I need God to do a work in my marriage because it's on the rocks. Yes, that's part of your daily bread prayer. You want God involved in your marriage, you got to pray. You say, man, I want God to work in my child's life. And like you preached a few weeks ago, Pastor Dan, on Mother's Day, I got some specific things that I want to see God do in my child's life. Daily bread. You pray about it. Every day you pray about your child and what you want to see God do. And prayer gets God involved in your child's life. Prayer gets God involved. Many times we worry and we fret over needy situations. But you know, worry doesn't. Do you think about it? How many of you have ever worried? Raise your hand if you've ever worried. It's kind of a question like, did you wear clothes today, right? Yeah, I brought this in. Some of you are wondering what this is doing up here. And I brought this rocking chair in here on purpose because somebody told me something one time that stuck with me and I never forgot it. And what they told me is they said, Dan, they said, worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but it gets you nowhere. It keeps you busy, but it gets you nowhere. And you just sit there and you just rock and worry and rock and worry and rock and worry. And it gets you nowhere. It's not moving you anywhere. And so some of the greatest bit of advice that anyone could ever give us, God gave us through Paul in the Bible. And it's in your handout. Look at it with me. Philippians 4:6. It says, be careful for nothing. Now that word careful isn't what we think of today. You know, we tell our kids, be careful when you cross the street. We tell our teenager when they take the family car, be careful. Well, I've said that a lot. Raising three boys, be careful. That's not what that word means. It's an old English word. It actually means anxious or worried. So when the Bible says be careful for nothing, he literally is saying be worried for nothing. Well, then if I'm not going to worry about it, what should I do? Can anybody tell me what would be something I could do that wouldn't just be like rocking in a chair? It would actually do something productive. What would that be? Yeah, look at that verse. It says, be careful for nothing, be worried for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer. In supplication, it says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Did you know the word supplication and the word request, same words, they mean the exact same thing? He is like, boom, boom, he's hammering it twice. And the word supplication and the word request, both of them carry the idea of asking God for something. And so what I want you to see is that this is a legitimate part of prayer, is to ask God for needs in your life. That's legitimate. It's not the first thing you pray about. We learned the first thing you do is you praise him. The second thing you do is you pray for his work on earth. But then a legitimate part of prayer is to pray for your daily bread, your daily needs, in other words. And I'm telling you, church, listen to me. When you're doing this and you're just worrying, that accomplishes nothing. But when you decide, you know what? I'm going to get off that rocking chair of worry. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to pray to God. And when you begin to pray and you begin to seek God, you know what? Now you're moving somewhere. Amen. Now you're moving. Now you're getting God involved in the situation. But you know what? We can ask God for anything we think we need. And you can pray about anything and everything. I don't care how small, how big, you can pray about it. Having said that, one of the greatest challenges that we face as human beings is being able to distinguish what our true needs are. If we got everything that we asked for, it'd probably destroy us. And God knows that. Sometimes the things that we ask for, that we think we need so desperately, God knows that if we got it, it would probably lead to our self-destruction. It's kind of like when we took our grandson Landon, we babysat him this week, and we took him, y'all ever heard of Neighbor's Ice Cream? Well, we took him there. And when we took him there, I had a gift card for there. So we took him there. And when we took him there, he wanted this, like, it's like a sucker on a stick, only it's all twirly, it's long, and he wanted that, it's like orange sugar on a stick is what it is. And he wanted that. So Pawpaw got that for him. Pawpaw is a sucker, let me tell you. That's an apt dessert for him, because I am a sucker, amen? And so I got him the sucker, got him the little candy thing. Well, then I went and got me some ice cream, and when I came back to the table, Denise says, oh, he thinks the ice cream's for him too. Well, when we were done, then he saw the candy bars and thought he needed those too. Then he saw cookies and thought he needed those too. Then he saw cinnamon rolls and thought he needed those too. Now, Pawpaw didn't get him all those because Pawpaw knows better than he does, amen? Had he gotten everything he wanted, he'd have had a tummy ache. And in the same way, we're a lot like little Landon. We go to the Lord in prayer thinking it's our daily bread, what we really, really need. And God knows better. And that's why in your handout it says, God has given us a helper every time we pray. This is so exciting. Look in your handout at Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, weaknesses. And then it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So many times we really don't know how to pray. For example, we get on our knees and we say, oh God, God, please, I need that promotion at work. Oh God, I got to have that promotion at work. And I'm just using this as an example. All promotions aren't bad. Some of them are great. But this particular promotion, God happens to know if you got that promotion, it would take you out of church. It would probably destroy your marriage. It would hurt your family. But yet we think we need it. Well, look what the Bible says. Let me continue that verse. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but, here's the encouragement, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit that lives in the believer. The Spirit makes intercession, what's the next two words? For us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you know what that's saying? Do you understand the impact of that, church? While we are praying, the Holy Spirit is filtering through our prayers, and He's offering up the proper prayers and intercessions to the Lord. In our weaknesses, sickness, suffering, many times our lack of knowledge, we pray about things. You know, I mean, let's face it, we pray about stuff at work, but yet we don't know the hearts of everybody at work. Who does know their heart? Hey, who knows about every situation in your life? Who knows the behind-the-scenes story? Who knows the hearts of all men? Somebody tell me. God. He sees the full picture. We don't. So the Spirit inside of you, when you pray, the Holy Spirit enters into your experience, interpreting our innermost feelings, and then intercedes to the Lord on our behalf when we pray. Even when all we can do is cry and say, Lord, I need you. And we can't even express in words the needs that we feel. The Holy Spirit's groaning within us to God the Father, making intercession, saying, Father, your child needs this. Father, your child needs that. And even when we sometimes pray the wrong thing, sometimes people don't pray because they're afraid they're going to pray the wrong thing. Don't worry about that. Seriously, don't worry about that. Just pray. Pray sincerely. Pray with faith in your heart. And you know what? If you mess up and you're praying for the wrong thing, aren't you glad to know the Holy Spirit's going to filter through it and offer up the right thing? Amen to God. He's going to take it and offer up the right thing if you're sincere and you're praying. But if you aren't praying, none of that happens. None of that gets set in motion. None of that occurs. The Bible says the Father knows the mind of the Spirit. So when we pray, there's this profound communication going on between God's Spirit inside of you and God on His throne. Isn't that awesome? I said, isn't that awesome, church? Amen? I mean, did you know all that was going on when you were praying? I mean, if you're praying in faith and you're praying sincerely from your heart, the Holy Spirit is interceding and He's literally saying exactly what needs to be said to the Father when you pray. Jesus gave the disciples a model prayer, not a prayer to be repeated verbatim. He's given them an outline, if you will, in this manner. He's giving them the manner. He's giving them the outline. When he says, give us this day our daily bread, what is he doing? He's teaching the disciples, guys, you can pray about your daily needs. God cares. God listens. And God's Spirit intercedes for us when we pray. Now, having said that, your daily bread is different than my daily bread. Your needs are different than my needs, right? I mean, we're all individuals. We all have stuff going on in our lives. I got stuff going on. You don't have going on. You got stuff going on. I don't have going on. I maybe got kids and grandkids. You don't, you know, maybe, you know. And so we've all got different jobs, different things going on. The point is, you can take your needs to the Lord in prayer. And I just want to share this with you real quickly before we pray, is that God has really, I began practicing what I'm giving you years ago. And you know, you kind of drift off course from stuff just naturally. I think we all drift, you know, if we're not careful. And I have really kind of just recommitted and gotten back to this particular manner in which to pray, in the sense of, okay, God, I'm going to spend some time praising you. Boom. Then I'm going to go right into praying about your work. I'm going to pray for my church, my pastors. I'm going to pray for our leaders. I'm going to pray for our church outreach. I'm going to pray for this missions team that's going to Minnesota. You know, in other words, just spend some time praying for my church, praying for God's work. God, how can I get better involved, you know, in that? How can I better help your work on earth? Then I pray for my daily bread. I pray for my needs. And that's where I pray for my family. You know, and I'll be honest with you, as I've been praying, I'm like, Lord, I got food. You go and open up our fridge, there's food. I got food, I got clothing. Most of us go in our closets, we got stuff to choose from, what we want to wear. We got more than one outfit. Lord, I got shelter, got a roof over my head. So God, I'm good materially. But Lord, I do have some other needs. I need this person to be saved, or I need healing for Anthony Franzini, or Lord, I need protection for my kids, and Lord, I need my grandkids to be saved, and Lord, you know, those things. That's when you lay those needs out to the Lord. And in your handout, it says, prayer is very personal, and it says, we have a God that cares about our every need. Are you glad for that, church? Amen. Isn't that great? He cares about your every need. He wants to hear. Let your request be made known unto God. Let's go to him in prayer right now. And I want you to try to implement these first three sections of this prayer this week in your prayer life.